Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, one more time, another day in the house of the Lord. We give you the praise and the glory here this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you also, Lord, because every time we enter your word, it also brings light into our lives. So let it be this morning, and let your name be glorified. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap here this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody lift up the name of Jesus in here this morning. Somebody shout hallelujah here this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This morning, according to the power that worketh in us. That's why I had them sing that song, you know, according to the power that worketh in us. So let's start here at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, you heard this song before that they sang, and you've read this scripture before, no doubt, or you've had it, I mean, you've heard it read to you, or somehow you know about it, but I want you, by the grace of God, to pay attention and see what the Lord is going to show us here this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Well, the subtitle for a message like this can actually be exceeding abundantly above, you know, and that's the part that I want to focus on. You know, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, the meaning of exceeding abundantly, you might look it up, it will say, tell you something like super abundantly. Amen? Now, that's above. Not that he's only able to meet what we ask, but he is able to exceed and go even beyond what we ask or think. Hallelujah. God is able to do all of that. Now, the Bible says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And I believe that, you know, you must also believe that he is able. Amen. That's right. He is able. Because if you don't believe that he's able, then he can't do very much for you. You know, so God is able to do these things and to go even beyond what you ask and what you think. Let me put it in simple terms for the little ones. That means if you ask for a dollar, God is able to give you $2. Amen? That's just to help the little ones. So put that in perspective. You know, there is no amount of anything that we can ask from the Lord, you know, that can deplete from God's resources. Amen?
Amen.
Now let me say that again in case you don't understand. You know, anything that you can ask and receive from God is like taking a bucket to the ocean. Hallelujah! You can take as much from that ocean with your bucket as you like. And you can keep going as much as you want. You will not even put a dent in it. Amen, folks? That's how great God is compared to what we can ask from him and what we can even think. If you can think it, God can do it and even more. Hallelujah. But I want to bring a secret to that this morning. It's not just, we know that God is able to do these things. We know that God is able to exceed what we think, even our expectation and so forth. But I want to tell you this morning that it is according to the power that works. You know, well, the song they sang, you know, at the end I'll have them sing it again and say works rather than dwells. You know, because working is the key to this message. You know, the power that works in you. That is according to how God can work in you and through you. Now, God cannot do any more. He cannot go beyond the level of the power that is working in you. Now, God cannot go beyond, that's the level of your faith. Amen. Amen, folks. You may not understand that, but you will understand it when I finish this message. See, we know that God is able to do beyond what you think or ask. But For him to be able to do that, you know, it's only according to the power. You know, it's according to the level of the power or the faith that is in you, that is working in you. God can't exceed that. He just can't. Even though he has the power to exceed it for somebody else, you know, that believes. You know, but for you, if you limit God, you know, to so much, then you'll only get so much. You know. So, you know, now this message is going to bring us an understanding that we must allow the power of God to work in us increasingly. Amen. That's right. You must increase the level of your faith. And how do you do that? You do it by using your faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. To increase your faith, you must use what you already got. You must use your faith to increase your faith. Now, the closer, and I'm going to try not to preach very long this morning, the closer that you get to God, see, the more his power can be channeled through you. Everybody understand that? The closer you get to God, the more the power of God can work in you and through you. Now, see, so if you want greater things done, if you want this scripture, you want the realization of this scripture in your life, you know, there's some things that you're going to have to do, which I'm going to bring out very simply in this message here this morning. Now, it's kind of like in the book of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 38. Now, I'm not preaching on giving this morning, but people read that scripture and they say, well, you know, God is able to give you pressed down, shaking together, running over, and all of these things shall men give unto your bosoms. You know, I mean, everybody loves that part. And I've preached a message on running over. You can check it out on our website. You know, so not just about giving, but, you know, the blessings and the abundant mercies of God will run over in your life. You know, because for everything that God does is running over. It's always abundant and so forth. You know, but, you know, I want you to take a look at that same scripture in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. You know, it is the same principle that I want to bring out here this morning. You know, and I want to take it slowly so that everybody can understand this here this morning. Luke 6 and verse 38. Give, he said, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. But most people stop there. They don't read the rest of the verse. You know, you say, oh, well, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, God given to you. Well, no. That's not the end of the story. You have to read the rest of the verse. The rest of the verse said, for, and that's an important conjunction in this sentence. Joining the previous sentence to the next one. For, that means, it because with the same measure that you meet, without shall it be measured unto you again. So if you want to, some people want to give a little measure and think that, you know, they will get pressed down, shaken together, running over and so forth. It is not according to this scripture. This scripture says the same measure that you meet out. That's how it will be given back. If you want to receive abundant and pressed together, you know, and running over, you have to have, you know, you also have to measure out running over. It's what it's saying. It's as simple as that. You know, so, but some people think it's the other way. You know, just give a little bit and then get a whole lot back. Well, you know, maybe so, but not according to this scripture. For with the same measure that you meet out, in the same way shall it be measured to you again. Now that's what I'm talking about here this morning. You want to see God do exceeding, abundantly, above all that you ask or think? Well, folks, the secret is that is according to the power that works in us. Why is it, tell me folks, why is it that, you know, everybody doesn't have abundance? Why doesn't everybody have running over? Why doesn't everybody have exceeding abundantly and above? You know, why? Well, because they have not understood the scripture. For you to have exceeding and abundantly and above, it's got to be according to the power that's working in you. Now, so it is the level of the power that's going to bring the abundance. Hallelujah. I'm going to explain that a little further this morning, so it will help you. Now, of course, you know, there's nothing that we can do by ourselves. It is not by might. It is not by our power. This power that I'm talking about is the power of God. Hallelujah. It's not, you know, because for by strength shall no man prevail in the eyes of the Lord. So I'm not talking about, you know, physical, you know, prowess or, you know, whatever we can do in human terms. No, I'm talking about the power of the Lord working through faith in your lives. And it is to the level that you release your faith, you know, God works in you and through you according to the level of your faith. And that's just the way it is. If you don't believe God, He can't do anything with you or for you. You know, it's just, it is contrary to common sense to think that you're going to be there and not believe God, and then God's going to do all these great things for you. It's not going to work, you know, for without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Amen, folks? You know, there are very few times, about two or three times in the Bible, that the word impossible is used. One of them is in connection to the lack of faith. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 to 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And I'm going to speak more about that in a few minutes. But first, I want to give you an example of somebody, you know, that had power with God. Somebody that was able to get God to do great things. That's what I'm talking about here this morning. Do you have the clout, if you want to put it that way? Do you have the power with God that can get God to do great things on your behalf? That can get Him to do even exceeding abundantly above even what you are asking and thinking? Do you have that kind of power that can move God like that? That's what I want to talk about here this morning. You know, so, are you ready, folks? You know, I love the stories of David. You know that. You know, so I'm going to bring something out in the life of David here this morning. In the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, chapter 22, there's a long text from verses 1 through 25 that I want to read and bring out various things. Now, the same thing is repeated in the book of Psalms, chapter 18. So you can read it in 2 Samuel chapter 22, or you can read it in the book of Psalms, you know, chapter 18. It's pretty much the same thing. But let me start here in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And let me bring out a few things, some viewpoints here on what we are talking about. This kind of power that is working in you, that can cause God to do great things, even greater than you ask, greater than you think. Let's bring it out in the story of David. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Well, you know, if you believe that, you can say amen. Now, is the Lord your rock? Is He your fortress? Is He your deliverer? You know, now, when you tell the Lord these great things about who He is, you know, that will make Him to do great things for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, if you say the Lord is my deliverer, then He will be your deliverer. Amen. Hallelujah. If you say the Lord is your fortress, then He will be your shield. And your fortress, you know, a fortress is kind of like Fort Knox, you know, where they keep the gold and everything. It's barricaded, you know, they think nobody can get in there and so forth like that, you know. But the Lord is way beyond that, amen. The name of the Lord is like a fortress. It's a high and it's a strong tower. When the righteous hide inside, they are safe, amen. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my high tower and my refuge. He is my Savior. He has saved me from violence. He said, the Lord has saved me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. When the waves of death compass me, when the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, when the sorrows of hell compass me about, when the snares of death prevented me, when I had distress on every side, when I had problems on every side, what did I do? What did David do? He said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and tried to my God. In my distress, he said, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear me. You know, he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry entered into his ears. Now, David was crying unto the Lord for his deliverance. David knew that the Lord was going to be his deliverance. David knew that the Lord was going to give him strength to overcome his enemies. But the Lord went beyond what David was expecting. Because David had some kind of power with God. I'm going to show you the power here this morning. You know, the Lord went beyond his expectations. You know, he was just praying. He was praying that, you know, he was running from his, you know, for his life from Saul every day, from cave to this, a mountain and all of that and so forth. And they were praying that, look, Lord, I mean, what I've done for this guy, you know, deliver me and so forth. And the Bible says, verse 8 of 2 Samuel 22, then the earth shook and trembled. Now that's God stepping forth to answer one man's prayer. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the heavens, my goodness, move and, you know, shook. My lands. And God was angry. Wow. There went out a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured, and coals were kindled by it. You know, God's nose began to blast forth. Fire began to sprinkle out. God stood up on behalf of David. Hallelujah. Can your prayer make God do this? Do you have this kind of power working in you that can get God to do beyond what you ask? He was just asking for deliverance. And God is going to bear his holy arm. Amen. Bearing your holy arm means flexing your muscles. God is going to flex his muscles now on behalf of David. Hallelujah. Amen. Because David had a secret. I'm going to show you that secret here this morning. Listen to all the things that God did. You know, the heavens, you know, bowed down. He bowed the heavens. God bowed the heavens down in response to David's prayer. Hello, folks. Have you ever heard any such thing? My goodness. And God came down. See, darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub. David saw the Lord. My goodness. You know, how many of you prayed and you see the Lord do these kind of things? You know, have you prayed the kind of prayer that makes God to bow the heavens down and stand up on your behalf and blast fire out of his nostrils for you? Can you do that? Do you have that kind of power working in you that can make God go beyond even what you ask or think? Now listen to this. He made darkness pavilions, you know. He rode upon a cherub, verse 11, and he did fly. He was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds and so forth. And then through the brightness before him, my goodness, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven. Hallelujah. Call upon me, and I will answer you in the secret place of thunder. The Lord thundered from heaven in answer to David's prayer. Do you have this kind of power? Can your prayer do this? Do you have, you know, this kind of faith working in you that can make God go beyond what you are asking? You know, this is way beyond what David asked. You're just asking God to deliver him. You know, my goodness. God sent out his arrows and scattered them. Lightning and discomfited them. Also, all the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord and the blast of the breath of his nostrils. My goodness. You know, you need to take time to read this chapter and let it soak in. And pray, and I pray that the Lord will open the eyes of your understanding when you read this chapter to see all the things that God did on behalf of David. Just because he prayed. See? Oh, my goodness. Wow. He sent from above and he took me. God himself took him and pulled him out of the miry clay. He pulled him out of many waters. Hallelujah. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, that was too strong for me. all the people that prevented me in the day of my calamity, they did all that, but the Lord was my stay. Amen. He brought me forth also into a large place. You know, my goodness. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Now that's the secret, folks. The Lord delighted in David. Now listen to verse 21. This is where I'm going with this morning. All that, you know, he said all that to say this. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Why? Because I have kept the ways of the Lord. And I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me. And as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I also was upright before him. And I have kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness. And I might say, according to the power that was working in David. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. According to the power that was working in David. As a matter of fact, listen to this in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14. Listen to what God has to say about David. You know, after God, you know, summarily dismissed Samuel, you know, because he did not obey the Lord and so forth, you know, listen to what God said about David, 1 Samuel 13 and 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. That he was talking to Saul. The Lord has sought him. See, this was Samuel's prophecy against Saul. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. This is what God thinks about David. You know, God thought that David was a man after God's own heart. Can God say that of you? Can God say of you that you are a man or a woman after my heart? You know, what makes somebody to be a man after God's heart? See? That is the secret to this kind of power that can move God beyond your expectation. It's not just, God is not just going to do exceeding abundantly, you know, for anybody that doesn't believe God or is not worshiping God or walking in righteousness and so forth, all these things we're going to show here today. But for those that know how to work, you know, this power, how to allow this power to work in them, God is going to do tremendous things and beyond your expectation. Hallelujah. So God, his testimony concerning David was that David was a man after God's own heart. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Now, let's look at some of the things that can help you to attain this kind of power that can move God tremendously like this. You know, what are the things, you know, that can help you to attain this kind of power? You know, David, obviously, he got this kind of power. And there are a few other people, you know, that got this kind of power. But let's look at some things, you know, that can help you to attain this kind of power. The first thing I want to talk about, if you have a pen, I'd like you to write this down, because I'm going to name about five things here. The first thing I want to talk about, of course, is righteousness. Hello, folks, are you with me? The Bible says, the scepter of thy throne is a scepter of righteousness. You know, David himself prayed, he said, Lord, lead me on the paths of righteousness. Now, the paths of righteousness, that's what leads you to the gates of heaven. You know, but the gates of hell will try to prevent you from staying on the paths of righteousness, if they can. You know, and a lot of people will fall away. You know, while they are on that path, they will fall away to unrighteousness. And they won't make it. But God has promised that the church as a whole will make it to heaven. Amen? You know, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. So righteousness is the first thing, you know, that we want to look at this morning. Psalms 15. verses 1, 2, and 3. This is Psalm 15, verses 1, 2, and 3. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Now, this is somebody that has, you know, ability to be in the presence of God. That has the ability to be close to God. Who is it? Who is going to be able, you know, to abide in his presence? Listen to this. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. A few weeks ago I preached on that unruly evil, that deadly tongue. You know, that tongue will keep you, you know, if you don't keep it under check, it'll keep you away from this kind of power. Amen? You know, because it says right here, you know, a person that backbites with his tongue, you know, or does evil to his neighbor, he is not going to get there. But the one that's going to get there into the presence of God, that will be able to wield this kind of tremendous power with God, is a person that does not backbite with his tongue, does not do evil to his neighbor, and does not take up a reproach against his neighbor. They don't need to say any evil or slanderous thing about their neighbor. You know, they leave that alone, you know. Now listen to also verse 20, I mean Psalms 24, verses 3 to 6. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Same kind of thing. Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Amen? You know, so righteousness is the first thing that's going to move you to getting this kind of power working in your life that will cause God to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. The next thing is true worship. And that's one thing, worship and praising the Lord is one thing that David knew how to do better than anybody else in that Bible. You know, he knew how to worship the Lord. He knew how to praise the Lord. He spoke about salvation, you know, in that Bible more than anybody else, even before the Lord came. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my deliverer. And so on and so forth. You know, my goodness, the Lord is this and the Lord is that and so on. You know, he kept on and on. He just worshiped the Lord. He praised the Lord. He lifted up the Lord all the time. Listen to this. In John 4, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and verses 23 and 24. Jesus says, the hour is coming and now is. Hallelujah. When the true worshipers of God shall worship God in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Now, you know, there are not too many verses in the Bible that say that God is looking for something. You know, here's one verse, one such verse, that says that God is looking for something. This is what he's looking for. This is how God determines those, you know, whom he can say, this is a person after my heart. You know, the true worshipers, those that worship God in spirit and in truth. Not with their lips only and their lives are complete opposite. That's not going to do it. You know, but worship God not only in spirit, but also in truth. And he said, God is a spirit. Verse 24. And they that worship God, see, must worship him in spirit and in truth. So true worship is another thing that will move you towards getting this kind of power working in your life that will cause God to do exceeding abundantly and above for you. Amen? Amen. Faith! Obviously. You can't get anything from God without faith. Amen? Faith! That's in Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read verses 5 and 6. This is the testimony of Enoch. And I spoke a little about Enoch when we preached on the trailblazers a few weeks back. You know, but, you know, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. You know. Now, Enoch had this tremendous faith. Prior to him, Enoch never knew that anybody had been taken from the earth without dying. But that didn't bother him at all. He believed that God was able to do exceeding, abundantly, and above. Amen, folks. You know, listen to this testimony by Enoch. By faith it was translated that he should not see death. Nobody could find it because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, what is the testimony that God has of you? Do you please God? Listen to the next verse. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11. He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, so, you know, please God. But we are being told that by faith it is, I mean, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't do it. You know, so this is an essential ingredient into getting yourself in a position where this kind of power can work in your life to see exceeding abundant, you know, and above of God's goodness working for you. Now listen, he said, for those that come to God must believe that God is, that he is. That means, you know, you don't need to try to prove that God exists. You must believe it. Amen? If you don't believe it, well, you know, there you are. You know, you already, you know, missed out. You've got to believe that he is. And I add that you also got to believe that God is able to do whatever it is that you're asking. But he's also able to do beyond what you're asking. Where you can get this kind of power working in you. Amen? You know, God is also a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe that, folks. I mean, you come to church. What do you do when you come to church? You come, you know, just put on your fancy clothes and see your friends and hang out and so forth for a few hours on Sunday. Or are you coming to seek the Lord? You know, I mean, once a month we do these consecration services and so forth. And we say, okay, consecration, everybody, you know, fast and pray and seek the Lord. Do you really believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? If you believe it, you will be doing it. And a lot of people are not doing it, you know. Do you believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? Or do you think that God asked us to seek him in vain? Folks, our God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But you must believe that. You cannot get God working for you if you don't believe this. If you don't have this concept that first of all God is able and that he is also a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you diligently seek the Lord, he is going to reward you. Amen? Obedience is the next thing. Now I'm laying down here some principles of the things that will help you to get this kind of power in your life that will cause God to do exceeding abundantly and above for you according to the power that works in you. So I've talked about righteousness, I've talked about true worship, and I've talked about faith. Now obedience. Obviously the story of this obedience, I mean this obedience and so forth, you know, the best example that I can think of is the story of Abraham. In the book of Genesis chapter 22, there's a story there of Abraham when God tested him concerning the long awaited promise. He waited for Isaac for many, many years, 25 years. Finally, when this child was born and so forth, God was going to test him to see whether, you know, what he would, I mean, how he would respond to the test that God was going to put in front of him. Now, in Genesis chapter 22, I'm going to read from verse 12. I'm not going to read all of it. I'll just read verse 12, then I'll skip, and then I'll go down to perhaps verse 16. So, Genesis 22, verse 12. Now, if you don't know the story, you have to read the whole chapter. But I don't have time to tell the story this morning. I don't want to tell long stories today. You know, but anyway, when Abraham was just about to slay the child, just like God told him, you know, God called out to him and said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, even thy only son, from me. You know, Abraham obeyed God to the letter. God said, go and sacrifice your son, your only son. And he was about to do it. You know, he went all the way and he was about to took the knife, bound the boy up, and was about to slay him. when God gave him this sentence. I mean, this pronunciation. Now, let's jump to verse 16. Genesis 22 and verse 16. And let's see what God has to tell him. And the Lord said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee." Hello, somebody. "And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed." Now, this is beyond what Abraham would think. You know. "As the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore." Now, can anybody imagine that, you know, somebody who took him 25 years just to have one child? You know, can you imagine that you can, you know, God's going to bless your generations after you like this? Now, this is exceeding. This is abundantly. And this is beyond. But it is according to the power that is working in this man because of his obedience. Listen to what God said. "I will do all of these things, and thy seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. And in thy seed," oh my goodness, hallelujah, "and in thy seed, which is Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So you can see the importance of obedience in getting tremendous power from God and getting a covenant of blessing. There is a covenant of blessing that God put upon Abraham because of his obedience. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, last but not the least, because I want to make this message brief, I want to talk also about prevailing prayer. Now, in a way, I've alluded to it when I was reading the story of David, how he prayed and got God to do great things and so on. You know. But really, some of the things that are going to move God is prevailing, and that's consistency. You know, consistency. Staying in prayer. Staying with God in prayer. Not just, you know, you say it and then you run off, you know, and so forth. Consistency. We're told many stories in the Bible. I don't have time to read all their stories this morning. You know, many stories of the Bible. Widows that worship God with prayers and fasting in the temple every day and so forth until the Lord promised them that they would see the Messiah. You know, great things and various things. People that stayed consistent with prayer. You know, that's, you know, maybe that's all they did. Just stayed with God in prayer. And great things, you know, great things. Great things happened to them and so forth. But the story of a person of tremendous prevailing prayer that I want to talk about is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Amen? That's right. Jesus, the greatest example of prayer. Now you say, did Jesus have to pray? Yes. Because he came in the flesh. If you don't believe that Jesus came in the flesh, the Bible says you are Antichrist. Amen? He that does not believe that the Son of God is come in the flesh is Antichrist. You know, so Jesus came in the flesh. Physically. You know, he had this flesh. He was born. You know, and so on like that. Although he was God. But he came in human flesh. So because of that, he had to pray. Now, there is a prayer here that Jesus prayed in Luke chapter 22, verse 41. Now, this kind of prayer, you know, gets tremendous things working for you. You know, Luke chapter 22, verse 41. "And he was withdrawn." Now, in verse 40, of course, he told his disciples, "Pray lest you enter into temptation," and all that. Well, they didn't pray, and they entered into temptation. But Jesus went, he withdrew himself from them, you know, and so for a little bit, and then he knelt down, and he began to pray. And he said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, sir, not my will be done, but thine." You know, and Jesus was submissive. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, he submitted himself even unto death. Even the death of the cross, which is like the death of a criminal, death of an accursed person. He submitted himself unto that and so forth. And then he began to pray, and he began to make this prayer. And there appeared an angel unto heaven from him from heaven and strengthened him. And Jesus began to be in agony. He prayed the more earnestly. Praise God, folks. Hello, folks. The reason that you are sitting in here today is because of this prayer that Jesus made. Jesus prayed this prayer more earnestly, and listen to this, verse 44. His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus was sweating blood from this prayer. He prayed until he got every one of the saints. Amen. Hallelujah, folks. All that the Father has given me shall come to me, and I will lose none of them, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah. You know, and even when he finished that, he went down to hell. And all the people that devil got before, that were God's seed, he released them. Hallelujah. The Bible says he took captivity captive. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, he prayed this kind of prayer. He went for the gold. You know, but his, in the Bible calls it a pearl of great price. You know, that's who you are to God. Amen. You are a pearl of great price. Jesus forsake all. He said the kingdom of God is like a man that after he has found a pearl of great price, he forsook all and went for that. Jesus went for the gold. You know, but he had this kind of prayer that could move God. When he prayed, angels came to strengthen him. And he said, no. You know, he kept praying. Amen. He kept praying. And he prayed through. He saw every last saint of God that was not yet born. He saw them clear on through the end of time. And he prayed for every last one of them. Hallelujah, somebody. And he got every one of them into the kingdom of God. You say, my, that's deep. Well, that's the truth. Because he said, neither pray I for these alone, but even for all those who through their word will hear about me. So he prayed down through the ages for every one of you that is sitting in here today. And great blood, sweat like blood was coming out of his forehead. Now this is the kind of prayer that moves God. Praise God. You know, I mean, if you have great faith, you know, tremendous faith, maybe you can say one or two words and God can do great things. But I tell you folks, there are some times that you're going to have to grind in prayer. You're going to have to grind in prayer. Lord, bless me this day as I go and so forth. That's wonderful. But that's not going to move the powers of darkness sometimes. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, folks, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You're going to have to dislodge those spiritual wickedness from their lofty places. And this kind of wishy-washy prayer that you don't even know if God hears you or not, that's not going to do anything. You know, you're going to have to get in with God in prayer. And you need consistency. Amen? You need to make prayer a business with God. Daniel, he made prayer a business with God. He didn't care, you know, he set a time for prayer. Didn't care whether they made a decree that they should not pray or do anything. He set a time for prayer. And he was there. Hallelujah. Praise God. In the early part of the stories in the New Testament, book of Luke, we are told of a woman who worshiped God with prayers and fasting in the temple, you know, all day and so forth, you know. And many other people like that, they just, you know, they were consistent with God in prayer. Now, this is, and then they got tremendous reward. This woman, she, you know, was revealed to her that she will see, you know, the Lord's Christ. Amen. And she did. Praise God. Tremendous. You know, just by being consistent in prayer. Just staying with prayer. You know. Now, prayer is one thing that's going to get you. Look, you know, if you're not a prayerful Christian, you are a powerless Christian. Hello, folks. You know, if you are not a prayerful Christian, you are not a powerful Christian. You know. And the devil, he's not afraid of you if you are not a prayerful somebody. He just laughs. You know. But if you are the kind of person that will not take no for an answer, amen, that will grind in with God. Genesis 32 shows us the story of Jacob. And he wrestled all night with the angel of the Lord. God visited him in that form. You know. And he wrestled all night long, the Bible says. You know. He wouldn't let go. He said, Lord, You got to give me a blessing. I'm not letting go. How many of you can pray all night long? Some people cannot even pray for 10, 15 minutes. If we say we're going to have a prayer meeting here now, you know, and we pray, start praying for an hour or so, everybody gets tired. And they just say, well, this is too long. Well, this man, he said, look, you know, I need a blessing from God. And you're going to have to change my story because my brother, he wants to kill me. You know, you're going to have to do something for me. Amen? Praise God. You know, Jacob always, you know, even from the womb, he knew how to grab onto things. The Bible says he was grabbing onto the heel of his brother, even from the womb, when they were coming out, you know, as twins. You know, and he grabbed onto the leg of this, you know, angel of the Lord and said, you're not going anywhere until you give me a blessing. You know, hallelujah. You know, that's the kind of faith that moves the Lord. You know, so, in summary, these things that we've talked about, righteousness, true worship, faith, obedience, and prevailing prayer, these are the things, you know, that can help you get into a position where that power begins to work tremendously in your life. But what about faith? Let's talk a little about faith. Now, faith, in order for it to be valid, must be based on the Word of God. You cannot just have faith in faith or whatever. You know, faith must be based on the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You know, so, you know, when you read the Word, you've got to get to a place where you're constantly reading the Word and speaking the Word. The Bible said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You've got to begin to speak the Word. Say what God says, not what you think. If God says that you are above and not beneath, you need to say that for yourself. Amen. If God says that you are going to be the head and not the tail, that's what you got to say for yourself. Amen. And you've got to leave the part. Leave what you are saying. Amen. If you say I'm above, then don't act like you are beneath. Amen. That's right. If God says you will be a lender only and not a borrower, then don't go borrowing money on credit cards. Amen. Amen, folks. I know I touched a sore subject there, but I'll tell you all about it if you want to know that. You know, that's not God's plan for anybody. Praise ye the name of the Lord. God does it because the borrower is servant to the lender. And ye shall not be the servant of man, because you are bought with a price. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, God doesn't want you to be in debt. You know, amen. You know, but so you've got to leave what you see in the Word of God, and you've got to say the Word of God, and you've got to leave the part, you know. Live like what God says. Amen. Praise God. You know, even the people of the world, you know, they'll tell you that, you know, if you want to be successful, you've got to dress for success. Well, you've got to speak for success the Word of God in your life. Amen. If the Lord says, by whose stripes ye were already healed, in 1 Peter 2:24, that you've got to use that word when you have ailments, when you have sickness, and when you have disease. You've got to say, I have already been healed. Amen. And you've got to take up your bed. That means get up from the bed already. If you lie in bed all day long, you will be sick. Just from lying in bed. Amen. Praise God. Folks, if you're believing that God has already healed you, you've got to get up from bed. Praise the Lord. You know, the apostle said, rise up and walk. And he pulled him up by the hand. They didn't let him continue to sit down in that wheelchair. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Pulled him by the hand. Get out of that bed. Get out of that wheelchair. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's how you do it, folks. Now, I want to tell you, in closing this morning, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. But it is according to the power that worketh in you. You know, you've got to get that power of God working in your lives. And I've, you know, enumerated some of the steps and some of the things you can do this morning to get that power working in your lives. I want us to stand to our feet here this morning. A brief exhortation for us. You know. And we've preached a lot of messages that can help your faith. And I want to invite you to go back and listen to these messages that we've been preaching here at the church, you know, from time to time and so forth like that, you know, and I am going to pray with you. I want you to lift up your hands where you are and let us pray.